A very good morning to you. David Sheehan with you here on Horizons. Today is the first Sunday in Advent. On the show this week, we speak with the chaplain up in Mill Street. We continue our conversation about First Saturday devotions. And we talk about carol singing in the cathedral in Killarney. Up first, Sharon Lyons, welcome to Horizons.
Thanks so much, David. It's great to be here.
This is my first time meeting you, but I understand that you're a long-time Horizons contributor.
Yes, I've been in with Mary a few times in the past, talking about similar concerts and projects, so it's lovely to be back here. Thank you.
Thanks for coming in. I understand as well that you have a master's in chant.
I do. I did my master's in University of Limerick, specialising in Gregorian chant. I was fascinated with it in my undergrad and I searched somewhere to see where I could continue that study. And I was already doing a lot of work within the church at the time. So it just seemed like a natural progression then with my voice type and the interest to go on and to look for a master's. So I absolutely loved doing that.
Can you tell me anything about chant in what you've... I'm sure you have a huge base of knowledge, but I'm a bit of a Luddite on this topic.
Well, I suppose chant would be the initial language of music within the church. It can be traced back to the monks and further, you know. We don't know exactly what it sounded like, but we've access to manuscripts that will show different transcriptions of what they were singing in certain parts of Europe at the time. So, you know, I've gone to Paris and I've looked at those manuscripts and we've sung from those manuscripts.
Oh, wow.
So, and there's also schools of thought where the little symbols that you see on a manuscript can mean certain things within the chant. And of course, chant then went from these scribbles that looks like symbols and squiggles on a page that mightn't make any sense to me initially. And then it became more formalized. They added it onto lines. They came to four lines. And now what we read music off is now five lines, modern notation.
Oh, yeah.
So it kind of progressed from little dots and lines and squiggles and it progressed into modern notation.
So you're watching it evolve on the page.
Yeah.
As they got more accomplished at chanting, they probably realized, oh, we need a more complicated way to write this down because we're figuring out more notes.
But that's it. Or even a more transparent way of reading it, actually, so that it became more accessible to people then who were looking to sing it. You know, I suppose within monastic communities, they would have had their own style. You know, you could compare monastic communities close by with each other and there'd be slight variance because of regional differences, you know, but then broader schools came in like Solesmes in France and they put together their own system. So that's what a lot of the chant that we read today comes from. And when I was learning and studying it, that's what the system we would have learned. But we went back to see where it evolved from. The thing I love about chant is when you learn how to read it, it's not that difficult to read basic chant. It unlocks an entire repertoire of music for choirs, including children. Children love singing chant and it helps with their tuning and their pronunciation and their reading skills in music. You can see the evolution of it. It's fascinating. I love chant. Anytime I've worked with a church choir, we've always done a section on chant.
That's so interesting. Is it very different reading chant from reading, for example, sheet music?
Yes. Yes, because you need to understand what the different symbols are. But you can read a general version of it, like you can learn what five or six of the symbols mean. And then you can take up a Salve Regina, let's say, that's written in slightly older notation and figure it out. And now, because we know what Salve Regina sounds like, we hear it a lot, you can kind of compare the two. Some of the nuances have been lost. Some of the ornamentation that would have been sung or the intricacies of, again, the regional styles have been lost with the modern versions, just so that it makes it more accessible. But you can still go back and find those little twiddles and find those little ornaments and add them back in if you know what to look for. So that I love doing that.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Of course there's regional differences. It didn't occur to me until you said it, but even if there's regional differences in our Irish language, the chant would have had to evolve
absolutely
differently in different places.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And I don't know, is there a big gap for what was written down and what was not written down, but sort of passed down in oral history. Because I was at a rehearsal for the Castle Island Choir recently, and they said to me that they had one track where the words are written down, but the melody was passed down orally. So they had learned it from the nuns, and they weren't sure where the nuns had learned it from, but it was just being passed down in the memory of this choir.
Yeah. Well, I've seen that even from Dublin to Kerry, you know, in moving between groups and choirs, that I can hear the differences in how traditional hymns have been sung. You know, whereas we, different phrases and different emphasis on words is different. And that is exactly like you say, it's because 50, 60, 70, 80 years ago, it was being taught more by rote, like not by reading a book. So absolutely, in chant it's even bigger than that, because we're coming from a very primitive system, what we would call primitive now. Obviously at the time they were the educated, the monks were the educated people. Yeah. So we can only paste together what we know now. Like, I'm sure there was an entire repertoire that we will never hear. So some manuscripts, I worked with a group in UL, and we used to try and find pieces that have never been sung and never been recorded. And that was one of our aims, which was an amazing thing to do.
Wow.
Because we're thinking, we would search and search and search, and we'd realize that nobody has ever sung this piece before. And we've pulled it from an ancient manuscript somewhere, and it's an ancient chant to St. Bridget, you know, that has never been heard. That's exciting.
That's amazing. Yeah. How do you know you're doing it right?
We can only base it on the methods that we're learning, you know, like the Salem methods, the research that has gone in history and pulled together this system of learning it. Obviously, we have no recording. Obviously, yeah. We have no idea what it sounded like, but it's fascinating. So you can bring your own interpretation to things as well. But I suppose at the heart of chant in a liturgical context, it's the text that is the most important. So you need to be fluid with that text. You need to know the prayer, know the words, what it means. And then chant is like an elevated way of praying. So you're bringing that text from the spoken into the sung text, and you're elevating it by singing it. So it's praising God by elevating it to a sung text. So when I'm looking at a piece of chant, you're reading this text and you're saying, okay, what is this about? This is a hymn to Mary. This is a hymn, you know, what's the basis of it? And what's the explanation? And you learn the text, you get fluent with the words, and then you say, okay, well, this is the melody that's going on behind it. And then you put the two together, and that should create a lovely flow in the music when you approach it like that.
That's fascinating. I had no idea there were these sorts of like almost archaeological digs in the choral community to try and find ancient texts.
Yeah, well, I suppose it's not choral community now. So that would be, you would do with choirs, but the chant is it's a melody, you know, it's not in harmony.
Okay.
So
okay.
Yeah, you'd be singing, but it's tricky as well to sing some complex pieces of chant as a choir with all its nuances and move together. It'd be like singing Shannos, everybody singing the exact same Shannos piece with the exact same ornamentation. It can be done, but it's a tricky style to get together as a group of singers.
Oh, so. It's a fascinating world.
Yeah.
And going on to more contemporary singing, if anybody is interested in hearing you with your years and years of expertise singing carols, you have a concert coming up, I understand.
We do. So we're back in St. Mary's Cathedral in Killarney on the 30th of November at 7:30. And this is our Carols from the Cathedral. And this is getting more popular every year. It's a beautiful concert. So it's your regular, your traditional carols. And we've a few new arrangements this year of different pieces, which I'm looking forward to singing. And I have the Kerry Concert Choir with me again, and the Kerry Scotia Ensemble. And they are a professional ensemble from Kerry, and we work together a lot. And that concert, honestly, it's just, obviously, St. Mary's Cathedral is a beautiful building and space and sacred space to sing in. And at that time of year, you know, and that sort of repertoire, it's a beautiful night. And it's a charity concert. We do it for a charity every year as well.
It sounds great. So that's on tonight at 7:30. After this interview, Sharon, I'm going to play one of your songs. Could you tell me about it?
So the song you're going to play is called Night of Silence, Silent Night. And this is an arrangement of Silent Night, a contemporary arrangement. And it brings in a text from Advent as Night of Silence. And we start with the Night of Silence, and it then graduates into the Silent Night. So you're moving from Advent into Christmas. So it's a beautiful, because the two melodies work together on top of each other. So you'll hear that in the recording. So it's beautiful. I love this. I've been singing it for years and years and years, but we recorded it on this album a few years ago, and it really is one of my favourite pieces for the Christmas season.
Oh, it sounds great. I'm excited to hear it. So you said it's a charity concert. Which charity is it native?
So this year we're doing it for MS Ireland, the South Kerry branch. Each year we try to choose a charity, a local Kerry charity, which is what we've done since we've started. We began in 2022 with the Carols from the Cathedral. That was our first ever concert with the Kerry Concert Choir. So in that space of time, we've done 2 to 3 concerts a year, and we've raised over €30,000 for local Kerry charities.
Amazing.
Kerry charities. Yeah. And it's important to us that they are local charities, you know, that the money raised goes to the community and to really worthwhile causes within the community. So all proceeds from the concert, all proceeds from raffle go directly to the charity. So we have worked with MS Ireland before a couple of years ago, and we're delighted to do this again for them.
That seems like a great cause, and it's great when there's local activities raising money for local causes. Mm-hmm. It's great to see it.
Yeah, it is. It's lovely, and it's all part of the Christmas season as well. It's a lovely thing to do to help. There's a lot of charities that don't get a lot of government support, and it's nice to be able to do something locally. And for the price of a ticket, you're getting a gorgeous night out as well.
Yeah.
So it's a bonus.
Yeah, I said, even just being in the cathedral in Killarney looks amazing. Yeah. And yeah. With the acoustics of the music, I'm sure it's going to be a fantastic night.
It is, yeah. We're really looking forward to it. And it is, for us, our most favourite concert of the year, and for all the choir as well. It's anticipated every year now. And even in January and February, we're being asked, when is the concert happening in December? And we always try and have it on the first Sunday of Advent, so that we're kind of tucked into the Christmas season by then.
Very good. So that's Carols from the Cathedral tonight at 7:30 in St. Mary's Cathedral. Sharon Lines, thank you very much for coming on Horizons.
Thanks so much, David.
After the break, culture in Mill Street.